attention to your bulletin. The first reading there is John 14, 1 through 6. Robin made it known to me that this was and is a favorite of Elaine's, one of the most wonderful passages, I believe, in all of the New Testament, as it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, why He came, and what He did for us as sinners. I'd like you to notice three things from this passage this afternoon. Number one, the peace that Jesus gives. Number two, His preparation for us to go to be with Him. And then number three, He speaks of His pathway. His peace, His preparation, and His pathway. First of all, His peace. Look at verse 1 with me. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Now, Jesus had just finished communicating some very harsh realities to His disciples. That is to say, one of them would betray Him, and Peter would deny Him. Nevertheless, Jesus spoke this word of peace to those He chose and loved. You can see it in His words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." There's a lot of talk about peace these days, but it's hard to define or identify what it is. We live in a world filled with things like terrorism, war, violence, disease, pain, suffering, sadness, and yes, death. And there's a lack of peace, I think we could say, globally, nationally, and even personally. There are a lot of people that have no peace. Human beings are at war within themselves due to our fallen condition. You see, sin entered the picture many, many years ago, and sin destroyed the peace that was available at that time. When God created human beings, when He created the entire world, there was a sense of harmony and balance and peace. But the entrance of sin changed all that. Sin destroys peace with God. It destroys peace with our neighbor. And it also brings destruction to the peace that we might enjoy inside of ourselves. But Jesus Christ came to reconcile we sinful human beings to God. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And he goes on to say, "He, that is God, made Him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." See, Jesus Christ is the only one in human history who can say with authority, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Jesus alone can say this because He is God incarnate. God so loved the world that He came to His world that He created, incarnate in a human body. And Jesus came in order to give His life as a ransom for our sins. So He alone can say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Now Jesus tells us also in this phrase where peace is found. He says, "Trust in God, trust also in me." See, genuine peace is not found in something we do, or a medication we might take, or a philosophy we seek to live by. No, authentic, genuine peace is something that is organic, in the heart, as a result of God's activity in our lives. The basis of this peace is trust, that is, faith in Jesus Christ. This explains the wording at the end of the verse, "Trust in God, trust also in me." That is, to exercise faith in Jesus Christ is to exercise faith in the living God. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Only Jesus can give you the peace that goes down to the depths of the heart, so that you can stand before a holy God, clothed in His righteousness, and you can know that all of your sins have been paid for. And when the Lord looks at you, He sees you through the lens of His Son. These are truths and realities that Elaine Crescent believed and sought to live. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to have peace but to embrace God's one and only Son. In Philippians 4:6-7, Paul says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, the world tries to offer certain degrees of peace. But unlike the world, they can't give you the kind of peace that goes down deepest in your heart. And that is peace with God. Only Jesus Christ could give that and offer that to sinners. And so we have His peace in verse 1. Now notice His preparation in verse 2 and 3. He goes on to say, in my Father's house are many rooms. Some of the translations may say many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus speaks of preparing a place. I suppose everyone has a favorite place in the world. It could be a great city like Chicago or New York or Los Angeles, but most often it's a place associated with great memories, a place of work or home or a vacation spot. But it's essential to notice here that the emphasis isn't so much on the place of heaven. It's on the preparation. I go to prepare a place for you. The emphasis is on preparation. I don't know all that heaven's going to be like, but I know one thing, Jesus will be there. And it doesn't matter what the description is about heaven, even in the Bible. What matters is that Jesus Christ will be there. And that's all that matters. But He's speaking about a preparation that must take place for us to go to be with Him. The existence or construction of heaven isn't the point. The need for Jesus to prepare a place in heaven for us, that is the point. See, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't leave to go on some building project or construction project. Heaven's already there. The emphasis is on preparation. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Romans 5:8 says, he who knew no sin became sin. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God demands perfect righteousness. And as sinners, we don't have that. Jesus does. And God demands payment for every last sin. And we can't pay that. But Jesus did. And all He asks is that you embrace Him. For He is the one who's made the preparation. Some people treat the Christian life and heaven itself as if it were a prize to be won. It's not. It is a gift to be received. And that's what's so humbling about it. There's nothing you or I could do to add to what Christ has done. To add to it is to take away from it. For He lived a perfect life and He died on Calvary. And all of the wrath of Almighty God was poured out on His Son. He drank the cup of God's wrath down to the dregs, so that Elaine and you enjoy forgiveness of sins. Jesus made the necessary preparations. The question before the house is, and I think Elaine would put this to you, are you prepared? Are you prepared? Christ went to the depths of hell to pay the penalty for sins. And all that he asks is that you reach out as a sinner and embrace him as Lord and Savior, as Elaine did. Elaine was not a perfect person. I think I told her one time that you could be a little prickly over the 20 years that I've known her. But you know, those 20 years, and especially the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years, I could tell there was a change happening in Elaine. I don't know what it was. It just got more and more tender and sweeter and kinder. Every time I'd go to see her in the hospital or one of these rehab centers, she was always happy to see me, thanked me profusely for coming. And that's what happens in a child of God's life. The closer they get to the Lord, they're moving into the light, and the closer they get to the Lord, the more tender, the more joyful, and the happier they become, even when they're suffering from disease. The Lord has a way of turning a balsam grove into a rich, fertile valley, according to the psalmist. And that's what he does in our lives if we know him. We go from strength to strength until we come into his presence. And thank God Elaine has come into the presence of the living God, not because she was a good person, but because of the goodness of her God and his Savior, Jesus Christ. His goodness alone. Jesus' pathway, finally. He says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's been telling his disciples that he would be crucified and raised from the dead. Thomas is completely honest here. We don't understand. We don't know where you're going. Jesus' words and the disciples' confusion set the stage for one of the greatest statements in Christianity. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's comprehensive. We had a young man join our church today from Brazil. And I love what he said in his brief bio. He says, Jesus has become everything to me. That's what Christianity is. You look at the Lord Jesus, who Paul said in Colossians is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. He's peerless. There is nobody in human history like the Lord Jesus because he is 100% God and 100% man. And you can't ignore who he is or what he did. Many people like the idea of Jesus in a manger at Christmas time. But that baby grew up and was put to death on a cross to drink the wrath of the Father so that you and I wouldn't have to. And so that you and I, by faith, could have a relationship with the living God. So often we hear, all roads lead to heaven. That's a lie. The Christian life and the Christian teaching is rather bigoted because it's true. There is no other way. There's only one name under heaven by which we may be saved, and that is Jesus Christ. We should say all roads lead to Jesus. Whenever you're confused, whenever you're frustrated, when you try to find peace in this world, you try to find peace through a number of other means, you can't find it. When you want assurance that when I die, I'm going to heaven, you can't find it except in Jesus. And the reason for that is he is the pathway. Jesus doesn't offer a pithy saying. He doesn't offer a new philosophy. He offers himself. And that's what it means to have a relationship with a living God. Christianity is so much more than being saved from hell and gaining entrance into heaven. It is union with Christ. A deep and abiding relationship with the living God so that you can enjoy peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with your neighbor. That's why Christians ought to make a difference in our society. Christ made a difference in Elaine Crescent's life. And I know that her prayer and her desire would be that Christ would be your personal Savior, that He would be living and active in your life, that you would have a dynamic relationship with Him, one where you can enjoy the forgiveness of sins, all your sins, and where you can partake of His righteousness so you can stand before a holy God sinless and without fault. I hope your testimony is that today, just like Elaine's, that God would open your heart and invade it if that is not your testimony. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank You for the life of Your servant, Elaine Crescent. And Lord God, though she is no longer with us, she is waiting in heaven when all the hosts of those who have trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior will join her one day. I pray, Lord, that that would be the testimony of every one of us, that we would honor Elaine's Savior, that Jesus would be everything to us because of His life and death and resurrection and His payment for our sins. May we devote our entire lives to You, Lord Jesus, trusting You and walking with You in obedience. Give us the grace to do that today. And we'll give You thanks and praise for Your interaction in our hearts. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.